In May 2017, there was a bombing at the Manchester Arena in England. A concert was taking place when an explosion erupted. The articles that came out a few days later, there was an unknown man named Stephen Jones who was talked about. He was a homeless man that was sleeping outside the arena. And when the explosion erupted, immediately he ran. But then he saw the young people coming out of the arena, just, you can imagine, just wounded. And he ran back toward them and with a few others. Stephen was a former bricklayer, no medical experience, a highly unlikely first responder. But he did it. He went in. It didn't stop him. Later hailed as a hero, and he just kind of shrugged it off. This reminds us about how God uses ordinary people, yes, like you and I, to do powerful things. Sometimes the greatest impact comes from the very least likely person that you can imagine. You and I can be that great impact in our world. And some of you have. Sometimes maybe I am. We can all be part of that. We can challenge the conviction that certain qualifications and skills are necessary to make an impact on society or even for God. God qualifies us. He calls us. God doesn't see anyone as useless. Never view yourself as that. No matter what anybody has told you in your life, you are useful and I am useful to God. He did not make any losers. He did not make any nobodies. God modeled through us, through the incarnation. Jesus being born and becoming our Savior and the incarnation. It modeled for us and signaled a bold new way of bringing salvation to the world around us. Jesus did his job. The disciples, the most unlikely people in all the earth, they came together and continued his work of bringing the world to God. They lived into their new identity in Christ. Their message was Christ crucified. A simple message. And that revealed the wisdom of God and the power of God. And many came to faith. And many will continue today. So who are the called? Who are the chosen? You and I are, and that's our first point. God has chosen and called the foolish. God called us. Paul expresses this sentiment to the Corinthians. They'd kind of lost their way. He's trying to pull them back to center. He says, "For consider your calling. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful or of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Base things, the despised, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. But by doing this, he told them, you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God." Now the Corinthians, in following the ways of the world, there were divisions. They were losing the centrality of the message and the cross. They were moving away from it. It's not as if they were rejecting Christ. They still believe, but they are trying to move beyond the cross, as if there is something beyond the cross, to things less foolish or less offensive, to be considered wise in the world. Wow, look at us and how we're doing things. That's what it means to move away from the cross. But to Paul, this was most foolish. Because by doing this, the verse before what Peg read, verse 17, it makes the cross void. Not because of what God has done, but they were not vessels in the right way. So the power of God becomes void in the way they were behaving. In Matthew's gospel, the Sermon on the Mount, it dovetails with this word from the Corinthians. The foolish way. What is the foolish way? What is God's way? What is Christ's example? Fools are blessed and filled. Let's celebrate that. Blessed are the humble is one that I want to highlight. Just two or three here. You know, the humble, those who, the weak, those who sacrifice. You know, where are the humble, humble leaders in society anymore? There's too much of me and self and, you know, where are the humble? You know, look to Jesus. Follow the example of Jesus. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And righteousness means this, someone who lives uprightly in all their relationships, treating all people, rich or poor, racially different, with justice, generosity, and equity, doing, being, declaring, bringing about what is right. It's not private, it's corporate, it's together, it's relational. In our day and age, it's bringing back together the mosaic of Revelation 7, 9. All colors, all races, Christ Church, bringing everybody together. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemakers. Are you and I peacemakers in our family and society? There's so much to battle about, so much to fight about. Who's going to be the peacemaker, to be like Jesus? It may look foolish. Why are you so silent? Why aren't you doing anything? Why don't you hate them like I do? No, I'm a peacemaker. I'm following Jesus. God has chosen you and called you, no matter what you think of yourself. God thinks the best of you and your abilities. And the cross is central to our faith. What the Corinthians had forgotten is that the cross of Jesus is not only the source of life, it is a way of life. Michael Card died many, many years ago in a plane crash. It might have been the 70s, at least the early 80s. Oh no, who am I thinking of? Not Michael Card, sorry. There's another good artist. Thank you, Lisa. Michael is still alive. Who am I thinking of? Anyway, I'll think of it later. Yes, Keith Green. This is not his word. These are not his words. We in our foolishness, though we were wise, he played the fool and opened our eyes. We in our weakness believed we were strong. He became helpless to show we were wrong. So we follow God's own fool. For only the foolish can tell. Called, chosen. To bring the message of the cross. Just the second and last part. The message of the cross is Christ crucified. Paul is not embarrassed by the cross. The disciples were not embarrassed about the cross. Maybe the early church began to be embarrassed about the cross. But Paul centers his preaching on it, declaring it to be the wisdom of God, the power of God. By power, Paul means it is that one thing which can effectively save and defeat evil and transform anyone's life. He simply declared it as truth. Nothing fancy, he just declared the truth, the message of the cross, Christ crucified, because he trusted the power of God to convince more than his ability to persuade. Maybe the church is doing too much trying to persuade people to change when they won't change. But it's the message of the cross, Christ crucified, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Because the key verse for us this morning is verse 18. The word of the cross is to those perishing, foolishness. To those perishing, the word of the cross is foolishness. But to those being saved, it's the power of God. There are two paths in this world. Only two types of people in the whole universe. Those who are perishing spiritually. Those who are being saved. And we know this is true. In our own families, our own relationships. know, those who are, they're heading in the wrong direction. It's all about spiritual death and not trusting God anymore. Maybe some have walked away, or maybe some have never believed. We know it's true. We know it's true. It breaks our hearts and friendships, neighbors, our world. It ought to break our heart. There are some moving in the wrong direction. They're perishing. But God loves them. God loves them so much. And we pray, we share with them, we hope. And there are two diametrically opposed positions, because it's two different responses to the cross. Some reject the cross and some do not. If you want to know whether you're saved or not, you don't ask the question, well, do you believe in God? Do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe Jesus was a good man, a prophet, the Son of God? What decides whether we're saved or not is what we believe about the cross. Did Jesus die and rise again for our sins? God loved us so much to free us, to forgive us, His unmerited gift. Do you believe the message of the cross? It's simple. Christ died for you and for me. That is our forgiveness. That is our salvation. That's where our freedom and rescue and transformation comes. And that's what we want to boast about. Paul goes on in verse 21. God is pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Yes, it seems like foolishness to the world. But no. Those who are believing now and will believe in the future, it is the power of God. Just watch their lives change. How God has changed your life and mine. If we've gotten away from that, let's get back to the center with the cross at the center in our life. Verse 23, Paul says, it's why we preach Christ crucified. Yes, to the Jews, the stumbling block, scandalon is that word there, to Gentiles, foolishness. But to the Jews and the Gentiles who believe, who are being saved, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Some people, when they come to faith, they how did I never know this? How could I not have known? And it hits them, this free gift of grace. It changes everything. The cross offers weakness and sacrifice and humility as the source of power, while the world offers strength and wealth and fame. The world tells us salvation is in this way. Freedom from your personal suffering it comes from winning, not losing, from taking, not giving, from achieving, not surrendering. When you abandon the wisdom of the cross, the power of the cross, and adopt to the wisdom and power of the world, you will find a different power. And we see that power being wielded in our world all the time. It's not the power of God. It's not the wisdom of God. But what it is people find the power to destroy all their relationships with God, self, and others. We see that evident in our world and in society. That means if the church is manifesting the wisdom of God, the power of God, we're going to look foolish. Because there's forgiveness, there's reconciliation, there's mercy, there's second chances, third chances, fourth chances. There's love. There's hope. And if we don't look foolish, then perhaps we've stopped believing or sharing or living a life centered on the cross. Life centered on the cross, it displays our true citizenship. This earth is not my home. You know, I'm just a passing through. An alternative kingdom lifestyle. We live differently. We are united with anybody who loves Jesus, anybody who believes Jesus. And it's a reversal of the values of the world, power, recognition, status, and wealth. by the word of the cross. We stop believing that the power to change or save comes from anything but God's amazing grace. We can't do it. It's God's amazing, amazing grace. Yeah, you got to come up. It all begins with our call. We have been chosen to share the message of the cross. Listen to this confession. Let us declare this by faith in Jesus, that we can do what God has asked us to do, that He wouldn't ask us if He didn't believe we could do it. Rather than doubt our abilities, we confess that God's ability is working inside of us. When we lean on the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit fills us, His mind, His power, His grace enables us to successfully achieve the things that He has designed for us to do today. We declare this by faith in Jesus' name. And there's no boasting ever about what we're able to do. We can't save, we can't transform. Ultimately, God forgives. But let us boast in what Jesus has done on the cross. That He is what makes us wise before God and experience the depth of God's love and life and hope and vitality. And He's bringing us together. He has a plan for us. If we trust Him, if we yield to Him, His amazing grace will shine forth and people will come to faith. Not as a notch on the belt, but as a brother, a sister in Christ who's joining God's family. So many need the Lord. So many are perishing. We boast that Jesus is coming again, that we have the privilege to play the fool until He does. Amen. And let's sing about this amazing grace.
Power of sin and darkness, who brought it mighty. It is now our sacred privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. All who humbly put their trust in Christ and desire his help that they may lead a holy life, all who are truly sorry for their sins and would be delivered from them, all who would walk in love with their neighbors and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, are invited to draw near with faith and to receive this holy sacrament.
Come to the sacred table not because you must, but because you may. Come to testify not that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on the grace of God, but because in our frailty and sin, we stand in constant need of God's mercy and help. And come not to express an opinion, but to seek God's presence and pray for the Spirit. I invite you to join in the responsive reading for our affirmation of faith. It's a little different than usual, but it's 871 in the back of the hymnal there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No. In all things we are more than conquerors.
The Apostle Paul tells us that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Paul goes on to tell us in the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup of the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And as you drink this cup and eat this bread, we proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes again. Would you pray with me, please? O Lord of all, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. Gracious God, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his death and resurrection, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly feast where with all your saints we will be gathered in glory everlasting. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.